Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Are you lacking real motivation in your life? Do you feel that if you just had the right job, everything would be okay? And what would it mean for you to unplug from it all and bury yourself for 4 days and nights on top of a lonely mountain in Colombia without food, water, or shelter? This week, listen to how a successful doctor finds out what really matters by facing the elements and himself alone. Welcome to The New Man. Today I've got Dr. Jeremy Geffen. He's a board-certified medical oncologist and a pioneer in the field of integrative medicine and oncology. He is the author of the highly acclaimed book, The Journey Through Cancer, Healing and Transforming the Whole Person. And he's into the pioneering integrative medical program, The Seven Levels of Healing. He's also spent over 25 years exploring the spiritual and healing traditions of the East, including Ayurveda, Tibetan medicine, yoga, meditation, and all kinds of approaches to self-awareness. So we're not going to talk about any of that shit, though. We're going into something much, much deeper. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Great to be here, Trip.
And we're going to talk about vision quests, because you just came back from one of the most extraordinary things I've ever heard about. What is a vision quest? Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, I've just been a student, an avid student of all of the healing and spiritual traditions of the world, and I spent a lot of time traveling to the East. But over the last couple of years, I've become very attracted and very interested in the indigenous forms of healing from South America, and have had the privilege, really, of traveling to Brazil and Colombia, studying with indigenous healers. Uh-huh. And exploring, just amazing ceremonies for healing and a lot of Native American traditions. And I heard about this opportunity to do a 4-day and 4-night vision quest in the mountains of Colombia.
Wow.
And I just...
4 days, 4 nights.
Yeah, yeah. And so I did it. I just came back last week from 5 weeks in mm-hmm. South America. And it was... just a monumental experience. And I'm really happy to share it with you and with your listeners because, it's such an ancient ritual that goes back so long, so many, many hundreds, if not thousands of years, when a man would be called at some point in his life to a vision for himself and a vision for his life and for the world. And he would go into the mountains alone and fast and pray and go in silence for a number of days and nights to pray for a vision and for healing.
So we'll go into that in a second, but I just mm-hmm. want to kind of get more of the context here, because you're a Western medical doctor. You ran a cancer clinic. There are mm-hmm. lots of blinking lights and tubes and syringes.
Super high tech.
Super high tech. Yeah. And then there's this attraction to going into the jungles of South America. Is it because the Western stuff doesn't work, or what? Help me understand what pulls you to that.
Well, I think for me, it's been a process of trying to integrate all the various parts of myself, which I think are not unique. We have a mind, but we also have a heart. We have a soul and a spirit, but we also have a physical body. And so to some degree, medicine has been the arena that I've been just trying to work all of this out, to embrace all these parts of myself as a man, as a human being, as a doctor, as a healer. So wow. that I'm sure that's really the deeper driving motivation, is just to be a whole, authentic man.
Wow.
And human being.
It's fascinating to me that you have a global perspective on healing.
You know, in my early 20s, I was living in a spiritual community in an ashram, studying yoga and meditation for about 4 years. Had a calling to go to medical school and become a cancer specialist. And then my father died, excuse me, when I was 29 and he was 61. And I mean, just completely shattered me and my family. And I saw what people really go through. Mm. And so I wanted to know how to help people heal, how to help myself heal, and how to help my patients heal. So it's been a many, many years long journey and quest to understand how can we heal as men, as women, as human beings, at the deepest levels of who we are, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in our relationships.
Okay. And so where does Vision Quest come in? Is that a healing process, or why would the guy stuck in traffic right now listening to the podcast care about a Vision Quest?
Well, you know, oh man, I'm just smiling here because, you know, this is a very deep ancient ritual. In fact, all of the mystics, you know, at some point in their lives, you know, went out into the desert or went out into the mountains.
And is that kind of like what Jesus did, or the 40 days, 40 nights?
Yeah, totally. It was a vision quest for him. He was really calling forth clarity about himself and his purpose. Once you make a decision that it's your time, that it's really time to stop the madness and the chaos and all of the hyperactivity that keeps us busy and very often distracted and from the deepest essence of who we really are and what our deepest purpose as human beings is on this planet and on our lives and what is most important. And that's what happened for me when I heard about this Vision Quest and I heard about the opportunity to go to South America and to be guided in this by genuine healers and deep, wise medicine men who've been through this.
So your life before, kind of, you were in a pretty hectic state. You traveling a lot to speak and do this kind of stuff. And so you heard about this Vision Quest. You're like, wait a second.
I got to do this.
That's what I got to do.
Yeah, it was just like a bell went off. And I knew that I wanted to see if I had the courage to do it. You know, mm-hmm. to be alone on a mountain for 4 days and four nights with no food.
On another continent.
Yeah, on another continent, no food and no water, fasting and completely in silence and no shelter either. I mean, you get to kind of wear, excuse me, wear the clothes on your back and bring a poncho, a wool poncho and a wool blanket. And that's it.
This sounds like solitary confinement at the brig, you know, but
well, it's not.
It's not punishment. It's to find your purpose and clarity.
Yeah. Well, here's the, you know, if I had to summarize the whole experience in one phrase, I think the most remarkable part about it for me was that it's a full stop. Like, I mean, full stop on every level where
all the craziness slows down.
Yeah. There's no distractions whatsoever. So you're completely alone with nature, with the spirits, with your own body, with your own mind, your heart, your thoughts, your feelings, your dreams, your agony, your sorrow, your joy, your mm-hmm. prayers. And ultimately, it's a direct, raw, you know, unblemished confrontation and encounter with yourself.
Okay.
At a level that very few of us ever get to have because we are so, you know, busy all the time.
And we rarely get the chance to, like, who am I really? If you take my iPhone and my computer and my TV and my friends right. and everything away, who am I?
Who am I? Exactly. And what really matters to me? Like, if I was going to really die, and we're all dying, I mean, it's a real encounter with the reality of the fact that we are going to die. We're going to leave this earth. What is most important to me as a man, as a human being? And how can I touch that part of myself where I know I'm congruent? And this is supported by the preparation mm-hmm. that goes into getting ready to go up on the mountain. There's like a 9-day preparation in this Vision Quest process.
Wow.
With sweat lodge every day and prayers and making prayer ties, which is comes from the Native American tradition. We make 365 prayer ties and really focus on what really is most important. Who am I? Mm. What do I care about? Mm-hmm. Like, if this really was my last year on the earth, what do I want to give thanks for? Who do I want to forgive? What parts of myself do I want to forgive? What is my vision for my life? What really matters the most?
And so those 9 days were preparing you for the actual 4-day event up in the mountain where you're alone. And so you're doing all kinds of different ceremonies. Mm-hmm. There's a thing called sweat lodges. What is a sweat lodge?
Well, a sweat lodge is also another very, very ancient indigenous tradition. It exists in most indigenous cultures around the world. It's in America, it's most well known from the Native American tradition. And in the Lakota world, it's called Inipi. And it's a small hut, you know, about 5 feet or 4 or 5 feet tall, that's covered with blankets. And there's a pit. And typically men, but also women, will go in and they'll bring in stones that have been heated in a hot fire and they're glowing. And then the medicine man or woman or the lodge keeper will conduct a ceremony pouring water on the hot stones, which instantly becomes steam, and it gets really hot.
So you're like a vegetable basically getting steamed in this.
Exactly. It's like you're being put in a steamer. It's an incredibly cleansing, profoundly healing spiritual ritual. Mm-hmm. It's like returning to the womb of the mother, because it's conducted, the ceremonies are in pitch darkness, pitch black.
Yeah.
There's not a drop of light coming in, and so you're sitting there either, you know, buck naked on the ground or with a bathing suit, and you crawl in on your hands and knees. So there's a humbling and a humility. It's like going back into the womb of the mother. It's an incredibly primal, earthy return to a part of ourselves that is completely lost in our hyper-technological society.
Hey guys, this is New Man host Trip Lanier. I get emails each week from listeners like you who would love to put what they're hearing on The New Man into practice. A large number of you can't afford my one-on-one coaching sessions, so I'm offering a group package. For a fraction of the cost, you can get coaching from me along with 5 other group members in a weekly phone call. Each week, you'll get clarity about the life you want, and each week, you'll receive support and challenges to help you achieve that vision. This is not for spectators. For more information, visit triplanier.com and fill out an application. I look forward to hearing from you. Now back to the show. You know, as you're talking about, I've done a couple of sweat lodges with my wife, and it was the one place where everything about it is kind of meant to disrupt. Like, it is the there's no comfort zone in a sweat lodge. And I only did it for a few hours and was toast. I mean, yeah. But that feeling, like I felt reborn coming out of that. It was so intense. The heat was so intense.
Right.
And there was like this feeling of no escape, but like, oh wow, I can endure this. There's a hardship to that ceremony. I'm curious what came up for you during that ceremony. Cause I did it for a couple hours. You were saying you did it for,
we did sweat lodge every single day for 9 days leading up into the vision quest. And then
how long were your sessions though?
A typical sweat lodge is about 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
We did one all night ceremony starting at midnight and finishing at 7 a.m.
It's like the Iron Man of sweat lodges.
Yeah. I mean, you don't kind of jump in there right off the bat, but you can work your way up. For many, many people, myself included, you come out of there and you literally feel reborn. Like you crawl out of the womb again. And
just layers of stuff just seem to kind of come off.
Totally.
Like it maybe even layers of skin, but like, you know, like
you're just dripping, pouring sweat.
Yeah.
And again, you're pushed beyond the mind, you know, because of the intense heat and the whole experience. But that's a gift. That's mm-hmm. a real gift, you know.
That's when we get to find out who we are is when we get pushed, right?
We get pushed and we discover parts of ourselves that have been put aside and buried from childhood, from, you know, growing up trying to make a living and be successful and do all the things that we think we need to do to be happy, most of which
don't matter.
Don't matter. Yeah. You know, it's like, there comes a point where you realize, like, you know, you've been playing a script that was given to you that you thought was going to do the trick. And you come to a point in life where you realize that is not who I really am. And I want to find out who I really am.
So 9 days of sweat lodges would be enough to like whittle somebody down and get some clarity. But that was the preparation.
Right, that was part of the preparation.
Part of the preparation. We haven't really set the setting here, but it's in the jungles, basically, on these mountains, kind of mountainous terrain. Yeah,
northeastern Colombia.
Okay.
Kind of heading from Bogota towards Venezuela.
Okay, got it.
In that direction.
It's not like you just go down to the store and grab a beer or something when you're... No. You're out and you're isolated.
Way out. Yeah, way, way, way out.
Okay, so you were doing other ceremonies and other preparations during this 9-day time. Mm-hmm. Everything just focusing you mentally and physically for the 4-day break out there. So what happens? The day arrives where you're going to start this vision quest. What happens?
Well, as you begin to approach the day when you know you're going to go up on the mountain, your awareness becomes even more acute. Like I noticed for myself when I made the commitment some months ago to do the vision quest, and like I really knew, like, oh my God, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. It's like a bit of excitement and terror.
Excitement and fear and terror. And, you know, the workshop begins the minute you sign up, if you know what I mean. And that is so true for this experience.
Okay.
Like if some part of your soul, you know, knows that you're going to go and confront yourself. And there's a lot of thinking about these 365 prayer times. Like, what do I really want to pray for?
Tell me about that. What is that? These were things that you wanted to atone? Or what was this?
Well, this is also part of the Native American sweat lodge tradition. It's traditional that you would, in the Native cultures, that they would take a small piece of cloth, cotton cloth. Typically, it's red in color, which honors the east, the direction of the east in many indigenous traditions. And then you would take a pinch of tobacco, which is the sacred herb of many indigenous cultures, and you would wrap the tobacco in this small, maybe 2 or 3 inches square of cotton cloth, and take a string and tie it around the bundle of tobacco, and put your prayers into that.
This is the intention, right?
It's all about creating clarity and intention about who you are as a human being. What matters the most to you? What is the vision for your life? What is your purpose in life? What is your mission? What are you grateful for? Mm-hmm. What is calling you in your deepest heart and soul? And it's a way of creating clarity about that. But when you're going to go up to the mountain for 4 days and 4 nights for a vision quest, you know, the request is, or the invitation is 365 prayer ties, one for every day of the year. Like if this is going to set your year and you're going to really do this intentionally, what matters the most? So in my case, for example, I really appreciated this process because it gives you a chance to really, you know, like no kidding, man, really sit down and spend some time and get clear. And so I wrote all my prayers down, like what mattered the most to me? What did I want to pray for? What did I want to give thanks for?
Yeah, just imagine the guy out there is like, after more sex, more money, you know, more security, whatever. Right. Like, now I've got 360 to go.
Well, that's the point. And this is, you know, just doing the prayer test, if you really do it well, that is an ordeal.
It forces you to pull your head out of your ass. I mean, you can't just go stroll through this thing. You had to sit down and be like, what in the hell am I doing this
What is my life about?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. And then you get a chance to really stop. You know, as you said, absolutely nowhere to distract yourself. Nothing. No food, no water.
No taking care of somebody else.
No, exactly. You know? Yeah. And also, we didn't mention that you're in a small area, about 9 feet by 9 feet.
You're exposed. You're out in the open, but you've cornered off a place, right?
Yeah. The leader of the vision quest or the medicine man or the shaman will take you up and plant 4 stakes oriented with the 4 directions that have prayer flags on them that you've made, and then wrap your prayer ties around to create like a small little domain or area. And the idea is that you stay in this small area for the 4 days and 4 nights. You do not go out.
So you're not out, oh, I'm just going to hike all day and take a nap over here and go swimming for a while.
No, you are sitting still. You know, you're in an area, about 9 feet by 9 feet. and that's your home. You know, as a matter of fact, when
you sound like bait for a tiger, you know what I mean? Like,
right. And, you know, I tell you, in the middle of the night in the mountains, there are sounds and animals that we do not hear.
There's jaguars and pumas and stuff down there.
All kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's an act of faith and an act of surrender, especially when it pours rain in the middle of the night and you're soaking wet and you're shivering and it's freezing cold. And, you know, your mind is going, what am I doing here? Am I doing this? Yeah. And then you get to confront, you know, your strength and your conviction. Like, are you going to push through that? Are you going to, you know, bitch and complain? It's raining. Or are you going to surrender and like feel the rain? Maybe for the first time in your life to actually feel the freaking rain and not run from it. Think about it. Like normally if it rains, you know, and you're in your house or your office and it's raining, you'll like run to your car 20 feet.
Yeah.
So you don't get it all wet.
Right. Avoid it.
Avoid it. We avoid pain, you know, at every turn. It's an utterly medicated culture. So here's an opportunity to face your pain, physical and mental and emotional pain, to face it, to welcome it, to bring it on. And
there's literally no running from the elements. There's no running from yourself. Just here you go.
I can also share with you that for me, one of the amazing things that I noticed as the days went on, you know, as the days and nights merged into each other, I noticed because there was no eating or drinking that my mind was getting clearer and clearer and clearer. I'd never experienced my mind so pristine in terms of being able to look at something, a thought or a feeling or a memory or an issue or a challenge in my life, and to penetrate so deeply into it, because I've been up there for 3 days and three nights undistracted from anything. So that was an incredible part of the experience.
Well, I imagine there was also a part though where all the doubt, all the screaming and kicking, whether literally on the ground or like inside, Was there a time where you had to kind of break through something?
Absolutely, Tripp. I mean, it was a roller coaster ride.
So you get out there, and that first day, did it happen the first day or the second?
For me, it happened like the first night. You know, we got up there about midday, and I was planted on the mountain. And then the shaman says, okay, this area will be your home for the next 4 days and four nights. Everybody's planted next to a tree. So you have the company of a tree, and he said, this tree will be your master while you're here. Listen to it, hear what it has to teach you. After 4 days and four nights, I'll come back to get you.
Wow.
Be well. And then he turns around and leaves. And your mind goes, holy moly, man, what am I doing? You know, you're up there all alone.
When was the first time you just went, holy shit, like 10 minutes in or like what?
After he turned and disappeared down the mountain, you know, it was like, holy shit.
What did I get myself into?
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you sit down and then, you know, just start the experience. And now for myself, I was amazed. Something really beautiful happened for me, which was when I sat down after they left, you know, I had this such a strong voice in my heart that said, I will not move from this spot. It was like, I have worked so hard to get here. I will not move. I'm going to face whatever comes up, whatever is mine to see, I will see it and face it, embrace it and go through it without running. So the first afternoon and evening went by, and then the sun went down. It started.
And you haven't had anything to eat.
No.
That's going to be the hard part for me.
Yeah. And then the night comes and it starts, you know, the stars come out and it gets dark and you're there alone and you start hearing hoots, you know, woo, woo sounds and everything. And, you know, and you're there and then it started to rain.
And all you've got is a poncho and a blanket?
A wool poncho and a wool blanket. Yeah, no synthetic materials. Everything that you wear, and the only thing you can bring is a poncho and a blanket, and they have to be natural. So it starts to rain, you know, and you're huddling in your poncho, and then I pull out my blanket and wrap, and then it's like the heavens open, and it's a thunderstorm. I mean, it's just like a downpour. And in 20 minutes, you're soaking wet to the bone.
There's no escape.
Well, then you get to decide, you know, what am I going to do? And
run out of there.
You can leave, you know, and there, by the way, there's no shame. you know, for anybody who says, you know what,
there's not a sniper that gives you a headshot if you try to leave.
No. And, you know, you can leave at any time. You're totally a sovereign being. But if you step out of the area that you're tied in, then the vision quest is over for that year.
Okay.
And you come back next year. But there's no shame whatsoever in coming down early.
Yeah.
But you got to decide, you know. So it's first.
This is your thing, right? This is all up to you.
All up to you. Okay. And it's totally voluntary. Nobody forced you to be there. So it's 11 o'clock at night. It's pouring rain, you know, and it's cold. And I'm like starting to shiver. And my teeth are shaking. And you're on the side of a hill, so it's not really flat. And you can't really get comfortable anywhere. And then the mind opens up, you know, like, okay, what's in there? You know, like nature and the spirits are like turning you upside down and shaking you and saying, okay, what's inside? And that first night was hard.
Check out part two of our talk with Dr. Jeremy Geffen as he shares more about his South American vision quest. And please visit triplanier.com and let us know what you'd like to hear. Thanks for listening.